Hallelujah. Come on, here we are. We're in His presence. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, that's so awesome. God is so good. He's so faithful. Hallelujah. I just sense His anointing tonight. I'm excited about tonight. And I was thinking about this today, that I've been preaching for over 40 years. Yeah, over 40 years. And I'm still as excited about preaching as I've ever been. You know, because the anointing of the Lord is here, and it's, you know, it's His Word. And, you know, there's many things that can change you. You know, you can listen to a guru on dieting or exercise and you know, all of those things. And maybe the doctor puts you on a different thing, and that changes you on the outside. But there's only one truly thing that can change you eternally on the inside, and that's God and His Word. Amen? And so when we open the book, you know, we do it reverently. And when I say that, it's not from a religious standpoint that, oh, we can't touch it, we can't. But it's more like, Lord, I'm consecrating and putting this aside in my heart because I want to know Your Word. And I want to follow what You have to say. Amen? Thank you for that enthusiasm. Go with me Mary, I'm liking that. Psalm 37. And all of those joining online, I just want to say thank you for joining us tonight, man. It's just a privilege and an honor to have you here. And I just hope that, you know, you listen to what the Spirit of God is saying and take notes or whatever and just let God speak to you tonight in His Word. Amen. I may quote other things, but mainly tonight we're just going to be in Psalm 37. It's so incredible because the title of this in my Bible reads like this, Psalm 37, the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. You know, if you were looking at that from my old perspective under the system, or my thought is that if I wanted to be close to God, I had to do right instead of be right, you know. So it always felt like there was good today, bad tomorrow, right? That kind of thinking. But we're looking at this through the new covenant that was ratified in His blood. So in other words, I am righteous because He made me righteous. Now that doesn't get us out of living righteously. You know, that doesn't say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's already settled. It's a done deal. I can live any way I want because that doesn't work. Have you found that out? That just doesn't work. But what I want to, and I title this tonight, Delighting in God. Delighting in God. And we're going to look at that word a little clearer in a few minutes. But I want you to read verse 1 and 2 with me. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. See, and it's so easy to get into that, especially in our day and age. Why? Because no matter where you turn, the evildoers are broadcasted. Right, 150 years ago, I can't even say 100 years ago anymore because there was radio at that time, but 150 years ago, if you were on a farm in Nebraska and something happened in Washington, D.C. or California or whatever, it might take you 3, 4, 6 months to get the news of that, right? So, but now, all you got to do is open your phone, right? And there it is, and everybody's talking about the evil that's going on. But listen to what this says. This is the New English Translation, and I'm going to use this back and forth a little bit tonight. It says, do not fret when wicked men seem to succeed. And it doesn't say this. I'm adding this part. And for heaven's sakes, do not envy evildoers. Verse 2 says, for they will quickly dry up like grass and wither away like plants. So in other words, it may seem like they're winning now, but I've read the end of the book. Doing what's right is what puts you in the category of winners. Being made right is gave us interest into that, but also living that out gets us in that position solidly, not only with our spirit, but with our soul and our bodies. Right? Let me just say, there's a person who's saved, right? And they're born again, but they're an alcoholic. Right? And you know, some say, well, he can't be saved. Sure he can. Sure he can. But the fruit of that behavior might cause cirrhosis of the liver and they die early, right? You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that he is in the righteousness, or she is in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but the unrighteous living can still have an effect. Does that make sense? But here's the point, verse 1 and 2, it says, listen, don't fret. And I like that word fret. We don't use it very much. But what it means is, and I like the Amplified version, at least in Philippians, says, do not fret, worry, or have anxiety about anything. Right? And you think, man, that's tough to do. It is tough to do unless you implement the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Okay? So, again, the choices in verse 1 and 2 and actually going into 3 and 4, it's like, am I going to be committed and into God, or am I, and what percentage is that? See, here's what happens. If I'm in love with God, I love God, I'm going to worship God, but I've watched CBN and we've got a lot to worry about, or CNN or whatever. We've got a lot to worry about. So, you know, I could hardly sleep last night when I heard what was going on in New York or San Francisco. And what's happening in Lake Bay, what's happening in Portland, I love God, but 25% of us, of our being, has now begun to fret about what's happening. And that 25% is not good. Right? Living our lives out at 75%, 20, and that's better than probably a lot of people, but that's not what we want. We want 100%. And 100% indicates that there's no fret, no worry, no anxiety. That's our goal, right? That's our goal. Amen. Amen. But let's look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now we've read that, and many people have absolutely, you know, claimed that promise, delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I believe there's validity in that. But we have to remember, again, there's this good and evil. And here's the way I look at it, and I think that we should. When we're committed or trusting in the Lord, we're committing to the eternal. When we're trusting or looking at or fretting about the evil, we're letting our minds go to the temporary. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's kind of like, okay, here we are. You know, this is going on. Well, I read the end of the book. Even if I live and Jesus doesn't come in my time, but there's coming a time when he's going to set everything straight. Right? And even if I don't see it in my lifetime, that's not what I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in the eternal promise that I have in Jesus Christ. Make sense? Okay, let's look again at this. This version says, trust in the Lord and do good. Watch this. Trust means to have confidence, to have boldness, and have security. Why? That's so powerful. But listen to this. It's kind of, do we trust in the Lord? Let me ask you. Is your confidence at 100% that he'll come through for you and that he's got you in his hands? Again, we're going to indicate that maybe not so much if you're completely worried about what's going on, right? And I'll give you an instance. And we're all human and we all go through different things. But if, as Christian, if we have a brother or sister who is passing away, and you've all been there where you've been through the process of watching people go, and on one hand, it's not pleasant to go through. But on the other hand, and this might seem morbid to some, I count it a privilege when I can be there when a believer passes away. Why? Because I truly believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So in other words, if we truly trust God and His Word and somebody that we love, I'm not saying we're not going to miss them. I'm not saying that there's not grief. I'm not saying that we don't want them here. We do. But the reality is that we shouldn't grieve like those who have no hope. Because we trust, our confidence is in His Word. And we have boldness to say, the Lord's my helper. Right? The Lord's on my boldness. Some say, well, how do you do that? How did you get through that? Well, I want to tell you. Trust says, I can boldly declare, Jehovah is my God. He's my Redeemer. He's my confidence. You see what I'm saying? So when it says, trust in the Lord, it's saying, that's where I'm putting my confidence. That's where I'm being bold. And that's where my security is. I had breakfast with a fellow that I worked with in the shipyard. His name is Norma. And this is one of my... You know how you have friends, but then you have good friends? We don't get together a lot. We're going to change that a little bit. We don't get together a lot, but Norm is a good friend, right? A very, very good friend. And I can trust Norm. I can, you know, with things. And we have talked to each other. We've called each other out on things. You know, he is just a really good friend. I have confidence that if I called upon him, he would be there for me. And he feels the same way about me. And so that's kind of the thing. Lord, if I'm calling on you, are we really trusting that he's hearing us? But if we are, we'll have security in knowing that he's listening. See what I'm saying? And again, I worked for the shipyard for 11 years. And I went to work for the shipyard just a little bit after my daughter was born. So that's how I know when I started and when I quit. So 11 years I was in the shipyard, all right? So I left the shipyard to become a full-time pastor. Well, in the shipyard, my security, my retirement, everything was really secure. I had a thrift savings plan. I had this, and I was putting so much. And somebody looked at that, an outsider looked at that, who was a financial person. And they said, well, if you just keep doing that, you'll have well over $1 million when you retire at whatever. And so there's a lot of security in that from the world standpoint. But I felt the call to do what I'm doing right now. And so my security is that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Do you see what I'm saying? So trust in the Lord. In another verse, watch this. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, right? So that trust means I'm putting my confidence in Him. That trust means that I'm going to be bold to declare and believe that He is who He said He is. And my security is not in my 401k, my job, my anything. It's in Him. Right? So trust in the Lord and do good, right? So again, if we trust in the Lord, then we know that His ways are right and we can act on His ways. We can do what He wants us to do. Why? Because we believe. Because we trust that what He said is right. If He said don't steal, then that's what it is. If He said don't worry, that's what it is. If He said, to love your neighbor, I'm going to love my neighbor. If He said to forgive, that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because it comes back to that my security, my confidence, and my boldness are in Him. Does that make sense? All right, again. Now I like this, and we're down now in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I looked this up in my Hebrew concordance and everything, but listen to this, because it just fits this so well. Delight means to be soft, and I put in parentheses, soft-hearted. It means to be pliable, and it means to enjoy. So let's plug that in here just a little bit. It says, have a soft heart. Have a soft heart in the Lord. Have a pliable heart in the Lord. Are you getting this? And also, watch this, enjoy your life in the Lord. See, the delight that comes from that, or that whole thing, is the title of it, but we're going to enjoy our time with God. We're going to not only enjoy it, but we're going to be soft-hearted toward Him. If He said it, then I'm just going to delight in it. I'm going to believe He knows the best from the, right. I've experienced this in my life when I was working in the shipyard, I'd been doing the trade for many years. So I was pretty confident in my ability in what I was doing, and I knew the reasons for what I was doing, why I was doing it, what the best procedures were for it. But inevitably, there would be this young person that came into the yard, and they'd been in the yard for a month or two, and they were an apprentice, and they began to tell me why they thought I was messed up. Right? And you go, what? In fact, there was one apprentice I had to, when I was supervisor, I had to let go because he would not listen to the journeymen that were trying to train him. Right? And sometimes we're like that. In other words, God, I know You said this, but I think there's a little better way. Right? I know You said to forgive him, but if I just hit him with the 9-iron one time, right? Just one time, things will be better out. No. If we delight in the Lord, then our hearts are pliable to do what He says. So now listen to this verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because your desires will be lined up with a soft heart that's after Him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's like your heart's not going to be, well, bless God, there's the promise. If I delight in the Lord, bless God, He'll give me the desires of my heart. And my heart's desire is for a Ferrari. So therefore, bless God, I'm going to just believe for a Ferrari. The problem is that you haven't put your heart in God's hand and made it pliable so that God could actually put the desire that He has for you. There's nothing wrong with a Ferrari, nothing wrong with a beautiful house, nothing wrong with any of that, unless that takes the place of God's supremacy in your life, right? Is that making sense? So this verse, again, I think sometimes we take it out of context and put that on a little card and go, woohoo, you know. But that's, and we're woohooing not about, watch this is really important. We're woohooing, yes, the desires in my heart, instead of woohooing about my relationship with God. See? Delight ourselves in the Lord. Right? Delight ourselves in the Lord. Enjoy it. Be boisterous about it. Right? Okay. So good. Isn't that good? All right. Next verse. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, I love this particular thing. Again, looked up some of these words. To commit your way means to roll down together. Right? Right. And just think about this, and we'll use it. You know, somebody's talking to you, you're listening to them, and they're explaining something, and you go, I'm tracking. Right? I'm tracking with you. Right? And where you go, I go, I'll roll with you. Have you ever heard that before? Somebody and say, yeah, I'll roll with you. Whatever you do, man, I'm right behind you. I'm going to roll with you. So committing to the Lord is saying, Lord, I'm going with you. I've decided right now, I'm going with you. No matter what happens, I'm going with you. Remember what Jesus said? He said that narrow is the path that goes to follow Him, right? And so what I'm saying is that we've got to become focused and committed to the path that He lays before us. Not our path, not the path that we think that we should have, but the path that He has spoken to our softened heart. And then once He speaks it to us, I'm rolling that way. And I'm going to roll that way today. I'm going to roll that way tomorrow. I'm going to roll that way next and next and next and next and next. And for everybody, this is maybe a little bit different. But, you know, the Lord and His Word, and I believe this, some people dispute this, but I believe that His Word teaches us about tithing and giving. And so, years ago, I made a commitment. Renita and I made a commitment that we're going to tithe. And so that's first. We tithe. And what is a tithe? It's 10% of every dollar that's income. That's what the tithe is, right? But watch this. There were times when tithing didn't make sense. There were times when it's like, Lord, you know, we're kind of shy here. Maybe I can withhold the tithe this month and pay 11 or 12% next month until we get it caught up. No. 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 That's my commitment to you. If I lose the house, if I lose the car, if, you know, whatever it is, if we have to eat beans and rice, my commitment to you, and that's the same today, tomorrow, it'll be the same next year, and until I go home to be with the Lord, I'm committed. See, that's the type of commitment we're talking about. Commit your way to the Lord. Now I'll tell you this, and I believe this to be true, that there aren't a large percentage of Christians that truly commit their way to the Lord. Why? Because the flesh gets involved. Because our thoughts get involved. And some of the things I'm talking about in the heart get involved. We begin to talk ourselves out of things. Right? Oh, God wouldn't mind if I... You know, after all, I'm taking this tool home from the shipyard. But after all, you know, they've got plenty of them, and God understands. And you know, after all, that's the way it's done, and all of that. You see, what you've just done is you've let your commitment slide. See, again, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And again, I'm going to remind you that trust means confidence, boldness, and security. Trust also in Him. I'm confident that God's got me. I'm confident that God's way is the right way. I'm confident, and I'm going to be bold to make a stand based on that confidence. Does that make sense? Okay. Hallelujah. That's so good. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Here's what we do, though, oftentimes, and many of us have, and I've done it. Okay, Lord, You said You'd bring it to pass. It's 7:10. How come it hasn't happened yet? Or it's Tuesday, Lord. I asked for this on Sunday. It's not here. Right? Anybody ever felt like that with some of the promises of God? Right? I have, definitely. But if you read the book of Hebrews, this is really interesting, and you read chapter 11, we call it the faith chapter. But at the end of the faith chapter, it starts listing all these people, and there's a verse in there that says, all of these died not receiving the promise. However, the promise was fulfilled. See, again, because we're speaking of an eternal God. Do you see where I'm going? So it's kind of like, I trust the eternal God that He knows what He's doing. I know that He's accurate in what He said, and His promises are true. And I'm not going to put my confidence, listen to this, I'm not going to put my confidence in a timeline. In other words, God, if You don't perform by May 1st, I'm out. That's not my deal. God, I'm going to trust You no matter what. Even if it seems like maybe You didn't come through. Even if it seems like, well, that's not the way I thought You were going to act. I think these examples are really good, and they prove the point. I've known a lot of people who are believing God for their healing, and I've done their memorial services. You would think, well, I believe God, what happened? Well, first of all, I don't really know, but the reality is, and some say this would be a cop-out, but I believe it's true, they're more healed now than they've ever been. Right? And not only that, I'm not supposed to figure that out. It's beyond my pay grade. But even in my disappointment, I refuse to let that overcome my trust. Again, years ago, I was in a situation, and fear was just palpable, and there were some things going on that could have really been destructive in my family's life. And I can remember coming out, I was in Shelton at the time, I was coming out of Shelton up the hill and screaming out at God. Why, God? But then I said, after that, I said, but Lord, even if everything fear comes upon me, yet I'll praise Your name. I will not revert back to mistrusting You. Does that make sense? So again, we're talking about delighting, enjoying, being overwhelmed with delight for the Lord. Now, let's go on. Again, verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever felt like, I kind of need to prove this out? I've got heathen friends, or I've got some people that are evil, and I've got to prove myself. I've got to justify myself. I've got to, you know, they're saying this, and the God isn't dead, and the God, you know, all of that. And boy, I just need to stand and prove myself. Forget it. It's not going to work. But you can trust and know that eventually God's will and word will prove itself faithful and just. But it's not up to you to enforce it. Make sense? All right, verse 7. Y'all getting something tonight? Listen to this. I love this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings the wicked schemes to pass. Rest in the Lord. Now, I like this. Listen to this. To rest means to be still. To rest means to wait. And I love this part. When I first read it, I went, huh? And it says, rest means to be dumb. Huh? What are you talking about? Not dumb from the intellectual standpoint, but dumb as in opening your mouth when you shouldn't. Right? When you're resting in the Lord, you're not going to let your mouth bring forth words of fear, of fret, of envy, of anxiousness, any of those things that your mind is speaking to you. Why? I'm resting in God. I'm resting in God. And you know the verse that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. What that means is it's not necessarily I've got to go like this. But that means I'm resting in my confidence that God is who he said he is, and that my relationship has been submitted by the blood of Jesus. So to be still means I refuse to be swayed from the left to the right. I'm standing in God. I'm standing in his promises. I'm born again. I'm not going back. I'm saved. I'm not going back. Somebody, there's big arguments, theological arguments. Well, once saved, always saved. Or can you backslide and you lose your salvation? Well, one man said this. Said, I don't know about all that, he said. But he said, I'm saved and I know it and I don't plan to go back. Right? Because he was still in his convictions where the Lord was involved, right? So rest in the Lord. Be patiently. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked scheme to pass. Let me bring this current and in today's situation. How many have been involved in looking at, you know, politics in the last 10 years, right? And I'm going to name names, but just listen. It's like, okay, if Clinton's in office, we're all going to go, you know, haywire. So we're not to get her out. And anxiety starts, turmoil starts to come. And what happens with that is not only envy, but anger starts to boil up. And so all of a sudden, anytime you see Clinton, hatred is coming out of your heart toward them. Why? Because you're fretting because of evil schemes. On the other hand, what? Trump's the savior. It just, it bothers me, but for Christians to go, well, we just believe Trump is anointed by God and he's our, you know, that type of thing. I just want to say, shut up. Why? Not that I'm against Trump or for Clinton or anything like that, but he's not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior, right? And if Jesus uses Trump or uses Biden or uses whoever, I'm for that. But I'm not going to fret one way or the other, because even if their idiot ideas cause harm to me, like inflation and some of the other things that go along with it, even if that's the case, I'm going to walk in the midst of that in the stillness that I know who God is, and that God's for me, that God's with me. So never watch the news without God primary in your thinking. Does that make sense? When you're facing something tomorrow, and the homeless situation, and there's so many sides to that, but it's like, well, yeah, we need to have compassion on the homeless, and they're out in the cold and all that. But then you see the destructive property damage and all of the other things. There's a whole thing with that, and you just go, Lord, it's too much for me to get my mind around. But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to rest in you. Are you ready? Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So if you find yourself in a state of rage, or you find yourself just worried about everything, no. That equals a bad time coming. That means destruction. That means things aren't going to work as well as God wanted it to work. And you have decided to not delight yourself in Him. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, wait a minute. It's not wrong to have anger come to you. That's an emotion. And sometimes anger and adrenaline is absolutely God's intent. Let me share it with you. If somebody came into our house and they were going to do damage to Renita, I'm telling you, I would operate in a bit of anger, and that would motivate me to do things to protect her. There's nothing wrong with that. But the type of anger that's boiling over and over and over, and it's getting you further and further away from God, is not going to lead to a good place. Does that make sense? And forsake wrath. And how many of us have been in an argument with somebody, whether at work or maybe the family member or whatever, and, man, I'm going to get even with them. How many of you have ever prayed, sick them, God? Right? You know, your prayer, sick them, God. Not the right place to be. Why? Because it's getting your heart away from the stillness. You listen to what I'm saying? And it's going to cause harm. Do not fret. Do not worry. It only causes harm. You know, I mean, even the medical people will tell you that there's a large majority, not majority, but there's a large percentage of illnesses in the human body that are only there because they're stress-induced. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Trust in me. Delight in me. Commit yourself to me. Rest in me. Because that's the right thing to do. How we doing? Glory to God. Again, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Which do you want to be? Come on. I mean, that's obvious, right? For yet a little while, the wicked shall and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. The meek, I love this word, the meek shall inherit the earth. What does the meek say? And that's found in, you know, in the Beatitudes. The meek, what does the meek mean? The meek means soft, pliable, right? What the meek means is, and not pliable to anything, like you'll fall for anything, but it means, God, your word, I've softened my heart to it, and I'm pliable to it. So what he's saying here is those that are, and I'll use this word, teachable by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, they're going to inherit the earth. That's me. That's me. That's who I want to be. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's what I want. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? I mean, that's one thing I noticed, like, in political debates and everything, there's just gnarly, it's just gnarly. I've got to relate this story, and I've got to hurry up. But I've said this before and related it before. But everybody knows who Gary Ridgway is, right? The Green River Killer. I happened to be watching the news when he was sentenced, and he was at his sentencing. And before he's sentenced, the judge lets all of the victims be able to present, you know, a speech before the judge, talk before the judge. So family after family got up there, and you could just see the tension and their hatred and the vitriol that was coming out against that man. And you could see that they were just pained, and it was awful. You could see the effect of it on them just visibly. And then this old dude, I mean, he was an old white-haired dude with a big old beard. And just get this picture, overalls and a flannel shirt. He stands up and he said, Mr. Ridgway, what you did was wrong. And you've robbed a lot of families. He said, but I've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's my Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, and I want to tell it before the whole court, that in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. There was tension. There was turmoil. There was angst in every other person. But you could look at him and see joy. You could see peace. In spite of the pain, you could see the peace, because he trusted in the Lord with the vengeance. Do you see the difference? It's just amazing how it works. Let's read that again. Verse 12. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes his teeth with him with his teeth. But the Lord laughs at him. For he sees the day coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent the bow and cast down the poor and needy to slay those who are upright conduct. Their swords shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. In other words, watch this. We're not in this for the short term. We're in this for the long haul. And even though it might, you know, just really be uncomfortable in the position that you're in, you can get through that uncomfortableness if God is the one that you're trusting with it. And know that, you know, God will take care of it. God, you know, it's not my job to make the scales come out even. It's not my job to figure out how that person who's done me wrong, and they did me wrong in the business deal, they did me wrong in this area. It's not my job to figure that out. It's not my job to make sure that I'm right. But you just have to trust God. I'm not going to get through all of these, but so I've got another story. Well, let's just go here, and because I want to cement this in, go down to verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 19, and they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. What does that mean? And this is what I want to leave you with tonight. God has your back. I said, God has your back. It goes on later to say, and we're not going to get to it, but this is where he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. There's so much in here. Maybe I'll, the next time I speak, maybe I'll continue it. But here's the thing. We need to delight in the Lord. And we need to renew our commitment to that very thing. And if you're watching online or you're here, it's like, Lord, forgive me for my fret. Forgive me for my anxiety. Forgive me for my word. And forgive me for not trusting you to work out the situations that I felt like I needed to take control of and get angry about and get bitter about. Lord, I'm lifting those back up to you, and I refuse to let those control me because I'm delighting in you. I'm trusting in you. I'm committed to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's listened to your word tonight. I thank you, God, that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the very thing that you set it forth to accomplish. And so, Lord, I want to just pray over those, everybody that will watch it online, whether it's right now, you're in your home watching it, or whether you watch it tomorrow, next day, or whenever. I just pray, Lord, that you would even cause people who pass by the channel to say, I need to listen to that. That God, you would supernaturally put in their heart just a commitment to reassess themselves in these areas. And Lord, we do that tonight in our own lives. I'm doing that even right now. Lord, I just trust you. I absolutely put my confidence and delight in you. Lord, tonight I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the people who watched online. Father, I ask you to touch them, bless them. Father, send your healing hands upon them. Lord, speak to them. If you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, man, just give your heart to him. Just allow him to come into your heart. And it's like one lady prayed, and this was her salvation prayer. God, if you can do anything with me, you're welcome to. And Jesus came into her heart, and she's spoken before thousands. All I'm saying is, come to Jesus. Amen.